Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your hosts Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, here's Clinton and Leslie.
Good morning, Sunday morning.
All right.
Whether you are an art maker, art faker, art breaker, or art partaker, welcome all, because all are welcome, of course, to Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. Reaching back to the old school opening.
We are.
That's
like
what happens when David's not here.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we don't have our eardrums, like, blasted out every, you know.
At least it wakes you up.
It does. Yes.
I'm the one they call Clinton, and I'm here with the woman who is willing to, she is willing and ready to kill and or die to become the first U.S. ambassador to Wakanda, Leslie.
Yes! You know what? Forget about becoming the ambassador. I just want to be the general. I just want to be in charge of the army. That's what I'm going to do. I want to be in charge of the army.
That looks like that would be difficult to get into, though. That's just like, they look kind of
so
tight
good.
And strapped in and just like, doesn't look like there's a lot of bending around.
You know what? I wear corsets on a regular basis. I'm good. I'm good. I've been training for this. You understand? I've put in the time. I have put in the work. Yes, I just want to, you know, wield a spear.
Really?
Yes.
You can be ready to be their corset counselor.
Yes, exactly. Why not?
Why not?
You know, I am actually.
You know, you realize the no, but if you were one of the generals, this by the way makes 2 weeks in a row of Wakanda talk here here on Homegrown. All Wakanda talk all the time.
That's right.
That's what's going to be the new format.
Can we do that? We can do that.
We can do that. Whatever. No one is sponsoring us. We can do that.
We
want.
Right.
I'm surprised we're still allowed to be on the air.
Oh, stop it.
The problem is you'd have to shave. You'd have to shave your head.
But, you know, I've got a nice shaped head. I'm okay with that.
You're done with that?
It was back in the 90s, back in the early 90s. I did the whole like Toni Braxton cut. Like it was like an inch. It was like an inch long. Yeah.
That's my Toni Braxton impersonation.
That was your Toni Braxton? Might want to work on that.
Yeah.
A little bit.
That's as good as I can do without the haircut.
Yeah. So I could do that. I have a nice shaped head.
Oh, all right. We'll dig it.
And then I can just go to the barber instead of like having to like mess with hair. Because as you can see, I did not mess with hair today.
But you make it work.
I was just like...
It's, you know, here's the thing. That I've learned.
What's the thing?
The thing that I've learned.
The thing.
From so many years.
Yes.
Is that you either mess with hair or hair messes with you. It's a contentious relationship.
It really is.
You just gotta get in and show hair who's boss.
Yeah, you try showing this hair who's boss.
I'm just saying, but if you're like taking time with it, the hair is showing you who's boss.
But what I'm saying,
you just gotta say no.
Like
you can be all stuck here. That I just don't have time to give a care.
You know what?
I just don't give an FCC, and you just and you just walk out the door.
No, I did that a couple of times this week. You know, this is the second week of my new job.
Uh-huh.
And I did that a couple of days. I was like, you know what? I am going to wash it, but I'm not flat ironing anything. I'm not, whatever. I just put in a ponytail and let it poof. I was like, onker.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. One of the few benefits that white supremacy allows us is most white people can't tell when black hair looks bad anyway.
That's true. You are absolutely right.
So, you know,
they don't know.
You only have to worry about other black people.
Right.
Which really, that summarizes my life. Worrying about other black people. That's just.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, right. I've gotten used to their disapproval.
Oh.
So long ago.
Oh, precious.
It just happened.
I'm sorry.
It's just there.
Well, I don't disapprove of you.
Well, that's new.
That is not new. That is not new.
And it is welcome. You know who's also welcome? You know who's also welcome? Our first guest.
Yes. And they also do not disapprove of you.
I am having a banner morning. 2 points for Gryffindor.
Oh, my goodness.
We have with us here on Homegrown... The Irish are coming. The Irish are coming. Or at least the Irish files. Are they? Do you call them Irishophile? Celtica files?
I don't know.
I don't know what you.
I'm only 7% Irish, so I don't know.
I don't know.
The 7% didn't give me that information. I don't know.
Once you do.
Well, I guess I would say Irish music lovers. I don't know. traddies. You could say traddies.
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 That sounds like an English insult, doesn't it? Oi, a bunch of tradies are over there.
Oh, my. This is going to be a show with accents, isn't it?
It's just going to happen.
Man, we're just going to slip into it.
It's just going to
be
that way.
I just want you guys to know that every time we announce the stuff for the week and we come across the tin whistle stuff, we just slip into an Irish accent. Like, it just happens.
I don't think we slip into it as much as we leap boldly with no hesitation or sense of self-preservation or concern for aesthetic or moral concerns.
Yes. Well, you know.
Sherry Olander, president of the Blue Ridge Irish Music School, and Alex Davis, instructor at the Blue Ridge Irish Music School. Also, both of you, members of UNLAR.
It's true. Yes, hello.
Hello. Get closer to the mic.
Thank you for having us.
Get even closer, like this close there.
Okay.
There you go.
Kiss the mic. you want to go the 90?
Go the 90.
And the mic will not wait. The mic will not come the 10. It's okay. It's okay.
So tell us about BRIMS, the Blue Ridge Irish Music School.
Well, Alex has been in BRIMS from the beginning. So do you want to, I feel like you'd be a better person for kind of talking about the inception.
Sure, yeah. So the Blue Ridge Irish Music School was founded by a couple of music teachers in town, Tess Leminski and Sarah Reed. And they were fiddle teachers, teaching traditional Irish music. And they were interested in organizing a trip to Ireland with their students. So that was back in 2000, and I was a student of Tess Leminski. And then things just kind of got started from there. A woman named Lori Madden is the director of the school now, and she just continued it on with classes in music and dance and singing, tunes, and also a concert series throughout the year. So it's a great way for young and old to learn about the traditional music of Ireland and culture. So, yeah.
So how many of the people who founded it and who are part of it are from Irish descent themselves? I mean, how much is it a cultural mission for them, and how much is it an artistic mission?
Yeah, I would say it's largely artistic. You know, you don't have to be Irish to be a part of the Irish Music School. Lori is of Irish descent. Tess Leminski, as you might guess from the name, has more Polish on her end. So it doesn't really matter. You know, it's not contingent upon having the background.
But, you know, this is America, because you can never tell with names.
Yeah, right. This is true.
Yeah. It's like, yes, her full name is Tess McNeil Leminski.
What? I had no idea.
Yeah, I think the Irish music culture and music just attracts people from all different areas and backgrounds. And so, you know, I have no idea how many people in the school have heritage from Ireland, but I'm sure, you know, like everyone has a few, like 1% at least, right?
Yeah, I mean, speaking for myself, like my grandmother on my mother's side is a Gorry from County Wexford near Dublin, but I didn't really find that out till after I'd kind of got into the music and was doing it because friends were doing it, and it was really fun. So
cool. So why as you say, like people are drawn to Irish music. What do you think is the draw? Because there's a big draw, isn't it? I mean, people get really gripped by it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I originally got into it because of the dancing. So when I was a kid, I had friends who were taking step dancing with a woman named Carmel Tye over at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church. And I enjoyed it, and I was into it. And then I had a friend who was playing fiddle, and I just was taken by the groove, I guess, and by the rhythm of it, and got swept up. And, you know, it was this opportunity to go to Ireland and learn about the culture. And it's a long history that, you know, comes right into American music, too. You can find a lot of old-time roots in Ireland. So that was a big part of the draw, was just kind of looking at that development.
Yeah, that's one of the... I think that's one of the aspects of American music that I feel like doesn't get covered a lot, which is Irish music and its role in the roots of American music. It's one of the reasons why it seems one of the few people who like Scorsese's Gangs of New York, because you can see that. And there's this wonderful scene where, it's a very short scene, but there's a wonderful scene where there's an African American, person who's doing, a sort of a variant clog dance. And there's an Irish immigrant there playing the beat to it. And it's like, it's the beginning of tap dancing right there. Mm. And it's the mix of those two.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you'll definitely see in Irish step dancing, there's a lot of tapping. Hard to, you know, think of the river dance and,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, crossover and, you know, just the other night I was listening to the radio and they were playing a song, an old time version, like Irish song that we sing in the traditional ensemble. So it's like there's lots of crossover, I guess is the best word really to say, of like Irish and old time and African American traditions.
So Alex, you play fiddle, is that right?
Don't mind. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Sherry,
I play flute and a little bit of the boron.
And what's the baron?
Yeah, what's that?
Irish frame drum. You know, it's really the only difference from other frame drums is that is how you play it. But it's just a circle drum, you know, usually goat skin, although they do synthetic ones now. But yeah, and it's, you know, it's kind of the butt of most Irish music jokes, like the banjo might be in other music.
Really? Yeah.
Really? Can you tell us a baron?
Yeah, why?
Because I haven't heard the baron jokes. Like, I've heard the banjo jokes.
You know, I'm trying to think of the one where it's like, oh, you know, the best tip, the tipper is the stick that you use to hit the drum. And it's like, what's the best tipper to use? It's like, oh, a knife, you know. Something like that. That's not actually how the joke goes, but
that's horrible.
That is right in the banjo joke.
Right? That's
genre.
Right there in that milieu. Yes.
Right now, banjos are going. Yeah, I feel
you. Yeah, I feel you. Sorry about that.
It's all in good fun. You know, a lot of what got me involved with Irish music was the community. You know, there's a big tradition of sessions that actually is not really that old, since like the 50s it's been going on, where people just get together and play tunes and, you know, swap stories, sing songs. And I just was drawn in by that aspect of making music together. So
yeah, speaking of the history of American music and Irish music, there's a huge contingent of the folk music explosion of the 50s. And coming from the 40s, that are these Celtic tunes, and specifically these Irish tunes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and also, like, you think about the folk explosion in the 60s and 70s, and then more recently with, like, Riverdance and...
Riverdance.
You know, that has brought about... And the Celtic Tiger, like, the economic boom in Ireland has brought about more interest in this kind of music. But it's a really old tradition. I mean, it goes back centuries, and a lot of it comes from traveling itinerant. Oh, I guess that's the same word, isn't it? musicians like Turlough O'Carolan, who was a blind harper, who went around And he wrote all these tunes, and he was kind of influenced by Baroque music that was happening at the time, back in like the 17th century. But it's got kind of a he plays a lot of slow tunes, or wrote a lot of slow tunes. So
really, is there such thing as an Irish slow tune?
Yeah,
because what I mean, think of when I think of
really,
Irish music,
I mean the only like slow tune that you know that's associated with Irish music is Danny Barry. Like that's it. Like the rest of them
and
were
I
like
think that. They had not to. Okay, I was going to do the stereotype joke, but I will.
Don't. Well,
I think,
go ahead.
I think you really. I think you have to get drunk in order to play to have Danny Boy be that slow. I
right.
think that's why it's that.
Okay.
Slow.
Yeah.
It's the one tune that they would play at the end. Of the night
at the end of the night yeah
no there's definitely slow tunes there. I mean airs is what usually they call them when they're instrumental as opposed to
right
to, you know the, I mean a lot of the songs are slow I think yeah most of the tunes though that people play like in sessions and things are going to be fast but there's definitely more than Danny Boy.
Yeah, I would say you know there's in terms, most of the time in Irish traditional music, there's jigs and reels, and jigs are in like 3/4 tempo, and then reels are in 4/4 tempo, and reels are they're both can be pretty fast, but there's also polkas which are real right. fast, and those are fun, and that's from an area of Ireland called the Slieve-Lucra region, which is like southwest Cork Kerry border, and you'll see like in that area the geography is like kind of rolling hills, and so. The tunes have a lot of slurs, the polkas and slides, they're called. They're sort of single jigs. And then there's also music from the north of Ireland, from Donegal, which is a bit more jagged. And there's more like sharp mountain peaks up there. So it kind of is reflected in the geography a lot in the music, which is kind of curious. But so, yeah, Donegal, like the music has more of a Scottish influence. So Highlands are really big there. And Scottishes, they call them sometimes. So there's all different kinds of fast and slow tunes, yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break and then come back and maybe hear...
Let's hear some music when we come back.
Some music when we come
yes.
back. You're listening to Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. 18 minutes past the hour, you listen to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and this is Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. If you're just joining us, hey, what up? How
you're
doing?
Late. You're late.
Don't want to scare him off.
You're
don't
late.
Scare him off. It's all right.
I'm sorry.
You've already missed all the black stuff, so it's okay. It's fine.
You ain't missed no black stuff.
Did the Wakanda jokes already.
You ain't missed no black stuff. How could they miss we both black. How could they miss the black stuff? What is wrong with you? Are you all right?
You're probably sitting there, trust me, we have not missed it at all. We're here with Sherry Olander and Alex Davis, both from NLAR and also from the Blue Ridge Irish Music School. Hey, we've got a tune from that you guys brought.
Yay.
Do you want to set it up for us?
Sure. So this is from the Blue Ridge Irish Music School album. It's called "Here's to You," and it's sort of showcases the talent in the area in terms of traditional Irish music. And we're gonna play a set of reels for you that the traditional ensemble still plays. So hope you do enjoy it. Thank you.
we're back on Homegrown, 24 minutes past the hour. You were just listening to My Love Is in America, Cooley's The Earl's Chair, a collection from the album Here's to You, Irish Music from Virginia, from the Blue Ridge Irish Music School. Beautiful. Like, beautiful. So how many fiddles were in that?
Oh my gosh, so many fiddles. Like, all the fiddles. Like,
I had no idea.
Yeah, so that was the traditional ensemble, which is a collection of folks. The size varies from year to year. But in this group, let's see, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Seven fiddles.
So there you go.
That was beautiful.
Wow.
That was beautiful.
So I think that there is a minor Irish-related holiday coming up.
A little one.
A
little one. I don't
maybe
think
not even a holiday.
You might want to. You might want to say because you know people like to know these things.
Yeah. So.
St. Paddy's Day or St. Patrick's Day coming up. Although, really, when you're in the Irish music community, it's the whole month. It's just March is here, and March Madness has an entirely different meaning.
So the entirely different meaning, is that just green beer the whole month? Is that what that is?
There's this weird kind of separation between like authentically traditional Irish stuff and
yes.
You know, and then kind of pop culture Irishy stuff, of
right,
course. And
right.
Although I was in Ireland one time for St. Paddy's Day, and there was still green beer at some of the places. I think they actually dyed the Liffey River green, which was so
wow.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's definitely a lot of kind of back influence, you know, that has,
right.
That people celebrate St. Paddy's Day in Ireland more like Americans than they used to. but here, I guess for us, really just means just a lot more Irish music, places that normally we'll never think about Irish music or Ireland. March
right.
comes and suddenly it's like, oh yeah, there's that, you know, it's kind of like a fun thing.
Oh, right, there are those people.
Right,
let's get those
right.
people.
Yeah, you know, I mean, well, plenty of us do it all year long, but everyone does it in March, so it's good, a good opportunity.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things happening in Charlottesville for St. Patrick's Day, and probably the most noticeable celebration will be happening at the Tin Whistle, Irish pub downtown. And there's going to be music there all day long, as well as, you guessed it, green beer.
So, green beer?
I don't know if they do, but I know that they said that they're doing a lot of Guinness. Guinness yep. swag.
Oh, good.
They have special t-shirts. And
no green Guinness.
You know.
No green Guinness.
How would you even turn Guinness green? Like, that? There's no way to do that. There's no way to do that.
Only if you majored in blasphemy would you turn
green. Exactly. That is the one thing I want to do when I go to Ireland. I have to visit Guinness.
Oh,
like
yeah. Oh,
because
yeah.
seriously, I am now. I'm a beer person now, but growing up I never was a beer person until I had Guinness.
Oh nice.
And they say that the Guinness in Ireland is entirely different from
yes.
the
that's what, yes, yeah. and that's what I yes, I
yeah,
want
that is
yes.
what I've heard.
I want to go because you can go for a whole day and like learn to like do a perfect pour. And you come home with a certificate.
I
want the certificate. Do you understand? I want the certificate.
So on at the Tin Whistle, there's starting at 11 a.m. There's going to be Irish songbirds. Our friend Kevin Donlevy and a couple of his pals doing some songs. And then from 1 to 3, there's a group from Lynchburg called the Severed Heads of Gian Pond. So they should be fun.
Wow!
Not heard of them. They have a session down there on Thursday night, so that should be a good time. And then at 3...
Can I just say,
yes.
only an Irish music.
Only
an Irish music. You're not
wow.
going to find any black bands.
Right.
No funk bands called the Severed
Heads. Of
He's like, all what right. the... What are you talking about? No. Go, leave.
No.
Leave until you
nah,
get a
man.
New name.
Nah,
come
man.
Back when you don't sound like an Irish group.
Nah, man.
That's what they'd say. Anyway, keep go ahead.
So, and then the Blue Ridge Irish Music School is performing at 3 o'clock, and that'll be a lot of fun. A lot of dancing. The kids will be there. So, and then our group On Lar is performing at 4:30. And then Matthew O'Donnell, who some of you may have seen on the downtown mall, he busks out there quite frequently.
Mm-hmm.
He's a one-man band with his accordion and bajillion other instruments he plays.
Appropriate,
So he'll be playing at 6:30, and then King Gold and Banshee is playing at 9 o'clock. So it should be a lot of fun. Yeah.
That is a packed day.
Well, that's only if you want to stay in one place, like, because we've got events all, like, you know, Brim starts at 11 at Random Row, or we play at noon. They have Random Row starts their thing at 11, and then we end up at the Jefferson opening for Chamomile and Whiskey.
Oh, great.
That evening, the Trad Ensemble. And then, there's just other events going on around Charlottesville as well. So it's, the Tin Whistle. If you pretty much feel like staying stationary on St. Paddy's Day, then you can go there. But if you want to, like, you know, see different venues, then there's lots of options.
Right. And also, there's not even really limited to one day. There's a lot of other things happening this month. Next Saturday on the 10th, Irish supergroup Dervish is coming to Charlottesville. They're performing at the Haven at 8 o'clock. They're great. Kathy Jordan is this extraordinary singer. And then
Trad's opening for them there.
Oh.
Yeah,
I saw the ads.
Wow.
So tell us about Dervish,
because I've
seen the ads for Dervish, and I hadn't heard of Dervish before.
Dervish is amazing. Yeah. Oh my gosh, they're one of my favorite Irish bands. But no, yeah, that Trad's not opening for them. We're opening on Chamomile and Whiskey.
Right. Yeah.
I'm getting confused with all of the different.
There's so much stuff.
And then did you want to? You started saying about the other.
Oh yeah, and then the other really cool event is on the 24th, Saturday the 24th, which is a benefit for the Blue Ridge Irish Music School. It's a pub night. It's happening at the Unitarian Church over on Rugby Road. And there's going to be music and storytelling and beer and food.
Dancing.
In the church?
In the church.
Beer in the church.
It's the UU Church. It's Unitarian.
It's the Unitarian Church. Where else?
Well, I mean, there was beer in my home church, but that was because, you know, my, like, alcoholic uncle brought it to one of my cousin's funerals. Like, it wasn't, the church, like, didn't say, no, it's okay, bring your six pack. Like,
it's not condoned.
But this set definitely will be family friendly also. If you're under 13, you can come for free. It's only $10 if you're 13 to 20, and then it's $20 for 21 and up. It's a great way to support the Blue Ridge Irish Music School. We're actually taking a group of students to Ireland this summer, so we're trying to raise funds to help out with the costs associated with that.
Oh, that's great.
Alex, Sherry, thank you guys so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
For coming on Homegrown. All that stuff coming on. I'm surprised you didn't spread it out throughout the month.
Yeah, and if you want to visit the Brim's website, is brimstunes.org, and that has a calendar with a lot of at least the Trad Ensemble events and the concerts and stuff. So
great! Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Hope to have you guys back. All right, 32 minutes past the hour.
There's a huge list of stuff, isn't there?
Time to go and
there's a list of stuff.
Talk about what's coming up this week.
Yes. All right, deep breath. Whew. Currently running through March 4th, Little Women, the musical at Tandem Friends Music School through March 8th, Tuesdays from 1 to 3:30. Join instructor Kristen Rimble. She looks at pattern and form in poetry at the Charlottesville Writer House. Through March 25th, current works by McGuffey artist Julie McLeod hanging at Les Yeux du Monde. Les Yeux du Monde Gallery. Through March 31st, Annie Temmick's show Beasts. That's with an exclamation point, everyone. At the Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative. Part of the Nevertheless She Persisted Women's History Month at the Bridge. Through April 8th, the Actors Renaissance Season at the American Shakespeare Center presents Tom Stoppard's Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Dead, Congreve's The Way of the World, John Marston's Antonio's Revenge, and Hamlet and Richard II by Shakespeare, all at the Blackfriars Playhouse in Stanton. Oh my God. March 7th, local Arthur Fred Schuckafer discusses his novel, The Ticket, at the Senior Center. The Ticket. I don't know what that sounds interesting.
About a winning lottery ticket.
Oh, that's That's what it's about.
That's what.
All right, I was thinking about another ticket. Okay, anyway. March 8th, the Charlottesville Women's Choir, Nasty Women Poets, and the Drum and Healing Circles at the Bridge, PAI, as part of Nevertheless She Persisted Women's History Month at the Bridge, the 9th through the 11th. Adams Family Musical at Nelson County High School. Isn't that precious? Oh, my God. The 9th through the 25th, Fun Home at Live Arts. The 9th through the 18th, Billy Elliot the Musical at Shannon Arts in Stanton. March 10th, Janet Martin leads Structure, the Key to Effective Storytelling at the Charlottesville Writer House. Also on the 10th, UVA Franklin Art Museum docent and former guest June Heinz guides you through 45 minutes of meditative exploration of Franklin art pieces at her Looking Inward Meditative Art Tour. And for your musical options.
For your musical options this week. Today, Drag Brunch at Fellini's.
Woo!
Also, Berto Salas and Miles Pierce at the Glasshouse Winery at 2 p.m. Bernie Dodd at the James River Brewery at 4 p.m. Tonight, it's Travis Elliott at Rapture. Tomorrow, Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar. An ATM unit featuring Jonah Kane West at Rapture. March 6th, the Ragged Mountain String Band at the Whiskey Jar. And on March 7th, the Jazz Connection. That's Jazz Connection. That's Victor Lee on sax, Dan Sebring on bass, David Weiss on piano, and Monty Parsons on drums at Star Hill Brewery Tap Room. On the 8th, you're looking at Nick and Steve Pollock at Dirty Nellie's, the Weed Eaters at the Whiskey Jar, and the Michael Ellswick Gathering, and then the Tyler Dick Band at Fellini's.
Oh my goodness.
Juwala Collective playing at Rapture also on the 8th. On the 9th, South Canal Street at Prairienata Farm Brewery, Susie and the Pistols at the Glasshouse Winery, Clay Bones at the Space Lab doing that guitar picking and singing. March 9th, also Kiz Carter and Juke Jackson at Dirty Nellie's, and 90s cover band Super Unknown plays Rapture.
Super Unknown?
Super Unknown.
That's their name?
That's their name.
Okay.
That's the name of an album by Soundgarden.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Hence the 90s cover band.
All right.
March 10th to March 12th, Charlottesville Baroque Ensemble Three Notched Road plays A Salute to St. Patrick with the music of Ireland, Scotland, and Wales at the First Presbyterian Ooh. Church on the 10th, the Grace Episcopal Church in Keswick on the 11th, and the Blackfriars Playhouse in Stanton on the 12th.
Woo!
On the 10th, her checkered past at Almaro Cider Works, Full Tones to the Max at James River Brewery, on Lar at the Tin Whistle
Irish Pub.
The Pollocks at the Batesville Market, and Eli Cook Band at Dirty Nellie's.
Hey, Eli! You need to come back on the show, sweetheart.
Come back on the show, baby. Every Monday, it's the Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. And then, of course, it's Seafoot, the Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music. They've got their weekly open jam at the Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church.
Where else?
Every Monday, Songwriter Night at the local. Every Tuesday, the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Salas at the Bebedero. And every Wednesday,
oh boy, here we go.
Open mic night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. Bam! Open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo. Bam! Jazz Collective Number 9 at Fellini's Number 9. Bam! Bachata Fusion at the Ante Room, presented by the Charlottesville Salsa Club. Bam! DJ and Friends at the Bebedero. Bam! The Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's.
Ooh. Lord, that's a lot of stuff.
Every Thursday, it's our friends Lua at the Bebedero. And of course, if you can take it, just one more.
Every Thursday, John Durth!
With the John Durth Quintet at Miller's, because every once in a while you just got to come down to Durth.
Yes!
And those are just some of the our wonderful artistic things going on in our wonderful artistic town.
I know, there's so much!
So much! Dropping it!
Hi, I'm Russell Richards, and you're listening to Homegrown on WPVC.
38 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned for the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Sean the Man McCord. His guest is going to be Jane Kulo, director of the Virginia Center for the Book, talking about, surprise, surprise, this year's Virginia Festival of the Book. But before we go booking it over to the Wake-Up Call...
Right.
You've got a little bit more art this way.
Come on over here, darling.
Come on over.
Got a little something for you.
It's not going to be. It's not going to harm you. No. It's going to be.
We good. Don't bite unless we're asked.
There you go.
Hard.
Oh.
Back on home. homegrown, one of our favorite people from what I think is going to have to now be called Sellout.
Oh, man.
Four County Players, the Sold Out Kings, because you guys just can't do a show without selling it out.
I know. Mm. It's been great, though.
Marketing coordinator from Four County, Edward Warwick White.
Good morning. Yay! Yay! So happy to be here.
And wave to your husband. He's watching.
Hi, Gary.
I love the wink. That's great.
If you get back in the living room. Like, I'm just kidding.
He's going to comment on that one.
I know. It'll be like, Gary Warwick White is no longer watching.
Right?
And close. Done. Boom.
So there's a show coming up.
There is a show
coming up. The next show that's going to sell out.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, yeah.
Tell us about the show that's coming up at Four County.
Noises Off.
Woo!
Opens this Friday. It's Tech Week.
That is one of my favorite plays. I love Noises Off.
I remember my first time seeing Noises Off. Sitting in the theater and thinking to myself, as it was going on, that I could not remember laughing at the theater.
Mm-hmm. So much.
So much.
Yes.
And I got to, and it was one of those rare instances where I got to the end of Act One. And I got to intermission, and I thought to myself, thank God, I just need a break from
laughing.
I was so tired.
Like
my face hurts. I'm exhausted.
Like
I peed myself a little.
I cried. I peed myself.
I felt all the things.
Like now I need to go. I need to collect myself and do it all over again.
Well, it's funny because I think people are like, oh, it's your job to tell folks like how funny it is. I can't really adequately explain. Like you just have to come see it.
It's
one of the funniest things ever.
And a good
ever sardines and newspapers have never been so hysterical.
Yeah, it's so well written. It's so funny. Anybody who does a show or loves theater, it's a love letter to theater in the funniest way.
Yeah.
Backstage, on stage, and everything in between.
Yes.
So have you peeked in? How's it going?
Yeah, it's going great. I have peeked in and watched some. I like a little bit of surprise, like if I'm not directly involved beyond sort of this work. It's fun for me to get to go to opening and actually be like, holy shit. But no, it's great. People that don't know the show, the set itself is its own character. So
yes.
Right.
Watching them work on this massive set has been really cool, and the cast is great, and it's just
and Bumi's directing it.
I know,
so,
exactly.
Like,
yeah,
it's of
Which
course
somehow
it's going to be amazing.
I learned this just a day ago.
Yeah, Bumi Patterson directed. And so
did not know,
and she was Dottie when Live Arts did it. Goldstein directed years
ago,
which people are still talking about. So it's really fun to have her on the other side of things.
Yeah, she's great. You know, I love Bumi.
I know she's good. She knows what she's doing.
Who doesn't love Bumi? Like,
yeah, I mean, I feel like
how can you not?
We were actually talking about do you almost want to like credit her as director and choreographer because the show is so intricately choreographed, like every second,
and it has to be
every movement is timed, and it's just like but
she's definitely the right person to direct it.
No, she's been great.
Yeah, it's one of those shows where as you're rehearsing it, I mean, it's such, as you said, it's a love letter to the theater, but it's also such a great parody of the theater.
Because
it's one of those shows where your rehearsal process mirrors the show.
Show.
It becomes, it becomes, wait a minute, do I put this here, there?
No. Or is it
first
there?
You put this here, then you turn, and then you put this here, then you put, okay.
Right.
That's just,
Yeah, and audiences so rarely get to ever see the sausage being made. Not that they want to, but it's kind of that moment where you get to see like everything that goes into it, what's going on backstage, what's happening on stage, and it's great. And we've never done it, so that's really exciting.
Oh, my goodness.
In 45 years,
In 45?
Yeah, that's...
There you go.
That's so awesome.
I know. I don't know what happened there. There
who was making that decision?
And the show's British. So I don't know why I'm speaking with this like New York accent.
Just go with it, baby.
There you go.
Just go with it.
People.
I told you.
The best and the worst.
See, I told you this was going to be a show of accents. Didn't I tell you? It was just going to happen.
I heard the Irish earlier, so I'm...
No one denied that.
There you go.
No one denied that.
Love it.
45 years.
Yeah. About to be 46.
That's a long time.
It's a long time. It's a lot of theater.
That's a lot of theater.
A lot of shows.
Do you,
a lot of paint.
A lot of paint.
I mean, at this point, do you guys have to, when you're, say, planning your season, do you have to look and say, okay, have we done this show before? Mm-hmm. And how many times have we done this show before?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not even just, I think, in the sense of us and what we've done, but also looking what other theaters have done.
Right.
You know, because you don't want to then step on the heels of somebody that's done great justice to another piece recently. And, like, be able to provide variety for audiences. And not, I mean, everywhere from here to now there's, you know, great theater in Waynesboro and Stanton and the other direction and Richmond. So sort sort of like, what are folks not getting to see? What are folks not getting to work on? And yeah, what have we not done? Or what could we revisit that maybe right. has fresh eyes on it that's been a while?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
So here's the question in thinking about planning seasons.
Yes.
Do you think that Fort County has an identity in terms of the type of works that it does? And if so, what would be that? I mean, if somebody said, well, what would I expect to see at Fort County?
How would you
answer that question?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think we're always trying to think about that, but also trying to push that. Like, mm-hmm. I've often heard folks say, like, oh, like, this theater is good with this type of theater, or like the edgier stuff in Fort
right.
County is like your family friendly. And I think we love that. Like, we want to be, you know, accessible. We want people to be able to bring their families, but we also want to be able to push ourselves and do, you know, edgier works, do some things that are darker, some things that are challenging. I mean, we try to come from the place of, I mean, I don't think you're ever going to please everybody. I mean, we've gotten everything from right. like an actual like typewriter letter from like a patron that's like, I
right.
can't believe you did this show, but it was so offensive.
Right.
And, like, and it might not even be something that's that controversial to like people that are like, I had the best time. But thinking about, you know, what do audiences want to see? What do actors want to work on? What do directors want to direct? What, you know, what could be current given the, you know, current political landscape? What's right. the tie into what's happening in the world? But yeah, at the same time, also the great thing about theater, there's, you know, there's stuff that we can revisit, but there's always new work coming out. So mm-hmm. it's exciting when rights become available to something that, you know, could be the first time in the area or the first time for us. And we also really try to go to the place of, you know, I know sometimes it's like, okay, so like we want to work with this person, let's find out what they want to do. But we love getting submissions from folks that are like, I'm mm-hmm. attached to this project, I'm excited about it. And I just feel like you get that good investment when somebody's
oh,
like,
yeah,
I'm passionate about this work. I've been thinking about it. I have an idea for it. Doesn't mean it always like fits into that particular season, but it's just great to kind of see what I think what folks are interested on versus like, these are the shows that we want to do. Who wants to work on them?
Right.
Which I think can get you in some weird places. And it's always even kind of the same thing with a musical review. It's like, this can feel like somebody's iPod playlist.
If right.
it's just like, these are my favorite songs versus how does this all tie together? What's the narrative?
Right.
What's the feeling?
Mm-hmm.
What are we trying to convey? And all of that.
And it's interesting that you talk about having a narrative and a feeling for a season, because mm-hmm. Fort County goes about their seasons differently than other theaters.
Mm-hmm.
There are some theaters that they will have a really explicit narrative for their
yeah,
season. Like
yeah,
this,
yeah.
this will be the season of faith, or this
right.
is a season
yeah.
of, you know, the Jolly Rancher season, or
right.
whatever.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
they'll have some type of branding for the season, mm-hmm. and Fort County doesn't do that.
And also,
I don't know if a lot of people know this, but many theaters are run with a single artistic director,
mm-hmm.
And it's, even though the artistic director can and often does take suggestions and talk to other people,
mm-hmm.
part of the job of the artistic director is to select a season.
Mm-hmm.
But Fort County doesn't have an artistic director.
So we don't technically. So we have Gary. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Gary.
Who is our production manager, so sort of oversees all things artistic. And the thing that's interesting about us is, I mean, we really are a volunteer theater. So with the exception of Ro, who runs the physical theater and the box office.
What up, Ro?
What up, Ro? We love her. I mean, we're all volunteers. So Gary, even with that job that for many would be a full-time position,
right. mm-hmm.
it's on top of his day job. So it's like running a theater in the evenings and in the afternoons and all that, which I think is pretty cool. But it's just been, I think, really important to have more voices involved in those decisions, because we all have things that we love and we all have sort of our thoughts. But I just think you come to a better place when you're able to get different perspectives and
oh, yeah.
sort of think, you know, and for us, it's even voices, you know, it's more by committee, but it's even voices, folks that aren't on the board, folks that are involved, you know, at other theaters, like folks that have a good pulse of sort of what's going on, just to have some outside perspective as well. Because when you're always working on stuff, you can sort of start to get in your own.
You get myopic.
Yeah. And you're kind of like, okay, like, yeah, we've done that. We blah, blah, blah. But then other people come in with ideas and you're just like, never thought about it.
Yeah.
And it's great. Yeah.
So what is your next season?
Oh my gosh, we're not doing one. I'm just kidding. I'm here to announce. No. Yeah, yeah.
I'm here to announce we're done. We're tired.
No, we are very excited. We announced our 46th season, 2018, 2019, on Friday. How in depth do you want me to go? Do you just want titles? Do you what?
Oh, no, no, no. I want the whole thing.
The whole thing?
Yes.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. I brought notes because I knew I'd forget stuff. But we are very excited. So our seasons start in the summer with our summer musical, which is great. And we are doing the Mel Brooks musical, Young Frankenstein.
Woo!
Hey. Directed by Perry Medlin, music direction by Austin Roby, and choreographed by wonderful Perry Medlin and Jerry Carlson Sauls.
Oh.
That will be July 27th through August 12th on the main stage. So
and that's making the rounds. A lot of people are doing Young Frankenstein.
Yeah. I saw Stab just did it, I think, is their musical.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I feel like people are in that mode. They're either doing Young Frankenstein or Addams Family.
Right, exactly.
It's like Monsters and Darkness and Funny and Tap Dancing.
But, singing a song and tap dancing.
With a lighthearted note.
Right.
So folks who love the Mel Brooks movie will love the musical.
Yeah.
It's funny. It has a wonderful score. So it's about... Frederick Frankenstein, who is the grandson of the famous Victor Frankenstein.
Right.
He inherits the family estate in Transylvania with his assistant Igor and a beautiful assistant Inga. He basically kind of one-ups his grandfather and brings to life a monster of epic proportions who then, of course, goes rogue.
Right.
Causes all kind of mayhem and hilarity in Transylvania.
All right.
Filled with wonderful songs and all of that. So auditions are coming up in April.
Awesome.
This will be great. So Perry's looking for a great cast of teens and adults and to bring it to life.
Awesome.
So that'll be fun. There you go. Next, we are doing The Lion in Winter by James Goldman. And I don't know what, Clinton, it says you're directing this.
It does it?
What?
Are you directing that?
Clinton Johnson, everybody.
That can't be right.
I know. How did that happen? No.
Yay! Oh, my God.
He just left.
No, and you didn't tell me?
You need to take a drink for that.
Guys, I know. There you go. October 12th and 28th in the cellar, which is very exciting. So we're happy to have Clinton back in the director's chair on this wonderful show.
Yes, we are.
And one thing I didn't, you asked a question about stuff we haven't done. So far, we haven't done either of these shows. So even in, once again, 45 years, Fort County hasn't done Lion in Winter. So
we're
so happy Clinton brought it to us and that we are doing. Do you want to talk about it at all?
Or
do
you talk about it.
I want to hear your thoughts. Why Lion in Winter?
You're on.
All right. So, Christmas of 1183, we are looking at a royal family and their free-for-all for competing ambitions to inherit a kingdom. The queen, who is the wealthiest woman in the land, Eleanor of Aquitaine, she has been kept in prison because she raised an army against her husband. So lots of good, typical, family drama.
Of course.
Like it does,
Like you do.
Husband mad at wife. Wife raises army against husband. Husband puts wife in jail. Merry Christmas.
He left the toothpaste thing.
Exactly. I think that's what the Family Stone's about.
That's what you
need
to do.
It's like a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Yes.
Exactly. But anyway, Eleanor of Aquitaine, Henry II, she's let out only for the holidays, so it sort of focuses on that time. When she's home, and the inner conflicts of the royal family as they fight for both the kingdom and King Henry's paramour during the Christmas of 1183.
Wow.
As Eleanor says, every family has its ups and downs, and this royal family is no exception.
Oh, my.
We won't put that on the poster, I promise. let's make it very Hallmark.
Yes.
We love families. Do you love Christmas? Do you love, there
That's
you go.
Awesome.
So that's the 1183 Christmas story. That's what it is.
Exactly.
That's
so there
what
you
it
go.
Is.
But no, we're very excited to have Clinton.
I'm very excited.
On this one.
Oh my God. You didn't tell me.
I know. Surprise.
See, now I disapprove of you because you didn't tell me.
Now speaking of family drama, you're like, what?
I know.
We're doing a show.
Keep a secret like that.
I know.
Well, to be, to my defense, they asked me to.
There you go.
I'm special. I don't know why.
Why would he tell you anything?
It's coming up next.
Speaking of Christmas, there you go. We're doing the best Christmas pageant ever.
Awesome.
So there you go. Directed by Jane Gargett, November 30th through December 16th, 2018, on the main stage. So that's part of it as well, is that we're always looking for good opportunities for children.
Mm-hmm.
We had just a wonderful slew of great kids and families in Christmas stories. So now we're doing Christmas pageant, which will be fun. We have done this show before in previous years, but it has been a while. This will actually be our sixth time putting it in the rotation.
Really?
Yeah, and part of it is there aren't like a ton of actual Christmas shows, but it's been a while. I think it was 2010 was the last time, and it's a great one. So this is about a couple who is struggling to put on a Christmas pageant, and they are faced with casting some kids called the Herdman Kids, and they're probably the most awful kids in history.
Oh!
So think like the Scut Farkases and all of the like bullies and all of that.
So they're like Bebe's kids.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So you got to put the kids in the show, and of course mayhem ensues. So
right,
it's the fun and all of the hardship that goes into putting on a Christmas pageant filled with children who won't behave.
Right.
So anybody who's directed one of those probably knows what. and all of that. So that'll be fun. So we'll be celebrating the holidays, and then we will move back downstairs to the Cellar for part of our Songs in the Cellar series. We've been having a lot of fun with these musical cabarets. Last one was View from Some Broads this past season. This one
Loved it.
Good. This one is all about the teens, so we are doing Broadway Our Way.
Oh.
So it'll be directed by Jerry Carlson Sauls, music direction by Erica Umbach.
Love it.
Vocal direction by Natalie Louise Nick Reynolds.
Yay.
And that'll be February 8th through 17th in the Cellar. So Jerry's going to cast a wonderful cast of energetic teens, and they are going to help her craft the show with the songs
that's awesome.
Teens love to do. I'm going to go ahead and say probably expect some Dear Evan Hansen. That's what the kids are listening to these days, as they say.
There's gonna be Taylor Swift in there.
There'll be the moment where she's like, "You guys can't all do Newsies,
right?"
Dear Evan Hansen and Heathers and all of that.
Yeah,
all the things that the kids love. But it's gonna be a lot of fun. So that'll be we're gonna do that for 2 weekends this year.
Okay,
we've been doing it for 1 weekend and been selling out, but that'll be great. And then we're gonna move back upstairs for Hello Dolly.
Hello Dolly.
Well, hello. Book by Michael Stewart, music and lyrics by Jerry Herman, based on The Matchmaker by Thornton Wilder, directed by yours truly, because they'll let anybody in there these days.
Another busy
year for the Warwick Whites. Music direction by Kristen Baltus, choreographed by Heather Powell. March 15th through April 14th on the main stage. Folks who know the show, once again, we've never done it. Can you believe
it?
And it feels like such a Four County show. Like,
yes,
because we love the old chestnuts and bringing
that
them back in rotation.
Yeah, that's a perfect Four County show.
But it actually has worked out really well because it's on Broadway right now, so it's kind of back in the public consciousness.
There you go.
But yeah, so we're very excited. So follows.
May I play the Louis Armstrong cameo?
There you go. Done.
Yes.
Hello, Dolly. Which is funny because it's like it even has like that Carol Channing feel as well. Everybody's going to be like, hello.
Yeah.
What's the entire show like that? All aboard. There we go. But anyway.
It's the geriatric version.
I think that's what you should do. The entire Carol Channing hello.
There you go.
Oh my God.
All the parts.
Dolly Madison.
So great.
Exactly. Yeah,
oh my God.
Like, you know, Edward White as Carol Channing as.
Yes.
Horace Van de Gelder in Hello Dolly. But blockbuster Broadway hit, of course, follows the story of Dolly Gallagher Levi, famed matchmaker, the turn of the century, and all of her sort of inner workings. She is hired to find a wife for the cantankerous Horace Van de Gelder, who is a half a millionaire. But of course, to do that, then she has to find a match for the person that he wants to marry, who doesn't want to marry him.
Right.
Find a match for his niece, who he doesn't want to marry this other guy because he's not wealthy enough. Meanwhile, in the inner working, she wants to marry Horace Van de Gelder herself. So she's got all that going on. But so she can then give his money to charity, which I think is nice. So there you go. So it's sort of Dolly and all of her matchmaking. All right. And luckily, this is a 6-show season. We are at the last show of the season. Last but certainly not least, back down to the Cellar for God of Carnage.
God of Carnage.
Which
what is
exciting. By Yasmina Reza, translated by Christopher Hampton, directed by Miller Murray Susan, May 10th through the 26th. 2019 in the Cellar. It is about a playground altercation between two 11-year-old boys that bring together two sets of Brooklyn parents for meeting to resolve the matter. At first, the diplomatic niceties are observed, but as the meeting progresses, the rum flows, tensions emerge, and gloves come off, leaving the couples with more than just their liberal principles in tatters.
Oh, yeah.
Reza is such a great playwright.
Oh, my gosh. It is a brilliant script.
It's a gorgeous script.
So literally, two couples that come together and just end up going at it, which I think will actually be
literally.
Really timely, from bullying to politics to everything.
Yes.
So we're very happy to have Miller.
It's great.
When she leaves the fun home, she'll be coming over to see us again.
Awesome.
For God of Carnage. And that will be the season, which is great. So 6 shows, and we're just really excited to get it going.
Edward.
Yay.
Edward.
That's a lot of stuff.
That's a lot of stuff.
That's a lot of stuff.
A lot of shows.
And you know what? I'm still mad at you, Clinton.
What?
I'm still mad at you. You should have told me.
No, that's what I do. I don't care.
I
caused the drama.
You know why I don't care? Because I'm special. I can keep a secret.
She's like, I wasn't going to tell anybody.
Oh, my God. I mean,
there you go.
And see?
Anyway.
See?
Anyway.
I'm still mad at you.
Sorry.
You're going to have to make it up to me.
There you go.
You are. You're going to have to make it up to me. You're figure something out. You're going to have to figure something out.
We had Edward on the show.
You are on the couch, my friend.
Four players bringing the people together and tearing them apart at the same time.
What can be better than having Edward on the show?
Well, I guess you're going to have to figure out what could be better, aren't you? Before next Sunday, man. Buddy.
There you go. Jeez. Tune in to find out what happens next.
Right?
To Clinton and Leslie. I'm homegrown. Will they make it?
Will they not?
Well, you know, I've had the running joke, which he hates for years, that we are actually theater husband and wife.
Stop that! Stop that!
See?
Stop that!
See? He hates that.
I told
that.
You.
He hates that.
Edward, spouse. Thank you so much for coming
on
the show.
Always a pleasure.
Always a joy. Four County Players rocking it and not stopping it. That's it for Homegrown this week. We'd like to thank our guests, Sherry Olander and Alex Davis. Also, Edward Warwick White. What up, Edward?
What up?
Any complaints about Homegrown should be directed to our attorneys at the fine firm of Tochterman, Overman, Munson, and Burke. Legal services like a song. Our opening music is from Spit It Out, Inc. Our event music is from Positive Collective. Probably should have some music on underneath as well as that. But no time. Coming next Sunday morning, Wake Up Call with your host, Sean the Man McCord. His guest is going to be Jane Kulo, director of the Virginia Center for the Book, talking about this year's Virginia Festival of the Book. This has been Leslie, this has been Clinton, this has been Homegrown, your only show about local art. Thank you very much. We'll see you guys next week. Oh, yes, don't want to do that. Hey, thank you, Edward.
Of course. I left you a poster.
Oh, thank you.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7.